Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the two teenage girls killed in a road tragedy in Monaghan on Monday night have been laid to rest. Meanwhile, a man in his 50s has died after he was struck by a lorry in Cork in the early hours of this morning. The Taoiseach says there will be an extra focus on enforcement to combat the shocking rise in the number of road fatalities on Irish roads so far this year. The Garda Representative Association confirms it will press ahead with a no-confidence ballot in the Garda Commissioner. The Donegal-based president of the association says a meeting today led to no breakthroughs. HICWA has published reports following unannounced inspections at four facilities in Donegal. And later in the bulletin, Jordan is here with sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But we begin with tragedies on our roads. The funerals of two teenage girls killed in Monday evening's road tragedy in County Monaghan have taken place this afternoon. A man in his 50s has died after being hit by a lorry in Cork in the early hours of this morning. It happened at around 4:10 on the N25 at Ballyedican near Middleton. The man's body has been removed from the scene to Cork University Hospital for a post-mortem examination. No other injuries were reported. A section of the road remains closed. Gardaí are appealing for witnesses. The Taoiseach says there will be an extra focus on enforcement to combat what he termed the shocking rise in the number of road fatalities on Irish roads so far in 2023. Leo Varadkar says he's very concerned about the number of deaths and has discussed the matter with the Garda Commissioner. 101 road users have lost their lives so far this year, compared to 89 up to the same day last year. Leo Varadkar says those figures are not acceptable.
Enforcement is a big part of making our roads safer. And that does mean more visible Garda traffic policing. And it also means an increase in the number of safety vans, because we know from experience that it's not good enough just to have the right laws. They have to be enforced. And that's something that we're definitely going to focus on throughout the course of the year and into next year.
Well, the Garda Representative Association has confirmed it will press ahead with a no-confidence ballot in the Garda Commissioner. The GRA and Commissioner Drew Harris's team met this morning for talks on his intention to revert to the pre-COVID roster in November. The association says while certain issues, such as resources, recruitment and suspensions, were discussed, it's disappointed that the central issue regarding rosters remains unresolved. The GRA president is Donegal-based Garda Brendan O'Connor.
There was no movement on that issue. We articulated our members' surprise at the move to go back to the pre-COVID roster. It was a very unexpected move from the Commissioner, and probably the single biggest factor that contributed to the position we're in. But there's no change. The meeting ended and we've parted, and there's no other meeting scheduled at this time. We expect that the ballot will be printed and sent out to members within the next 2 weeks, and there'll be probably a four-week window for members to cast a ballot. Then we'll have to process, our independent person will process and count the ballots. So we're talking a period of somewhere in the region of 6 weeks.
HICWA has published reports following unannounced inspections at four care facilities in Donegal. Áras Scuadóir was found to have 9 non-compliances, while St Eunan's Nursing Home in Letterkenny had 4. Meanwhile, Harbour Lights Nursing Home in Killybegs and Remelton Community Hospital had none. With more, here's Michaela Clark.
Áras Scuadóir had 40 residents when it was inspected in April, with non-compliances recorded in the areas of staffing, training and development, records, governance and management, healthcare, managing challenging behaviour, protection, residents' rights and fire safety. St Eunan's Nursing Home outside Letterkenny had 32 residents when it was inspected in March. Non-compliances were noted in the areas of governance and management, premises, fire precautions and residents' rights. In both cases, management responses have been attached, outlining what steps are being taken to address the issues identified. Two centres had no recorded non-compliances. They are Harbour Lights Nursing Home in Killybegs, which had 45 residents when it was inspected in February, and Remelton Community Hospital, which had 23 residents when it was inspected in April. More details and links to the full reports are available on our website, highlandradio.com.
Infection and disease surveillance, immunisation and advanced preparedness planning will be critical to mitigating any future pandemic. That's a warning from the government, which has today published its national risk assessment, setting out 25 potential economic, geopolitical, social, environmental and technological risks facing the country. The British government also released its own report today, saying there is a 1 in 4 chance of another pandemic, and it would be catastrophic to the country. Professor of Infectious Diseases at UCD, Dr. Jack Lambert, says we should all stay alert.
I think it's important not to discount any, you know, public health alert that says, you know, we have potential of another pandemic coming along, and it could be a serious one. So I think it's a real possibility.
Eligible people who haven't yet received the HPV vaccine are being given the opportunity to do so this month. The free programme is aimed at those over the age of 16 who were previously eligible. It runs until the end of the year. Two clinics will take place in Letterkenny this month at the Immunisation Department on the St Connell's campus in Letterkenny. The first takes place on August 8th. The second on August 22nd. Both will run from 9:30 a.m. to 4:15 p.m. Dr. Ida Nick Dunaghe said the catch-up programme has been named in honour of Laura Brennan, a young woman who lost her battle to cervical cancer.
Laura Brennan was a young woman who, at a very young age, died from cervical cancer. And during the final stages of her illness, she was a very, very keen campaigner in favour of preventing cervical cancer, and therefore promoted the HPV vaccine in particular. And her slogan was, get the facts, get the vaccine, and get protected. And that's my message to everyone here today who might be out there, who are in the group. So young women under 25 and school-going boys and girls from second year up to Leaving Cert.
Health services in the Northwest are urging people to stay safe this bank holiday weekend and know where to get help if they need it. Southa expects high demand over the coming days, particularly in emergency departments, and is urging people to go elsewhere for non-emergency treatment where appropriate. The CEO of Southa, Tony Canavan, however, is stressing that those who need emergency care in the hospitals will be prioritised. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
Cielta says COVID-19 is circulating in the community and health and emergency services across the northwest are anticipating a busy weekend. They say many local pharmacies will be open over the weekend, including Bank Holiday Monday, to help with minor illnesses, and are stressing that pharmacists are qualified healthcare professionals who can advise on a range of health issues. Additional resources are being put into place to support out-of-hours GP services in light of an expected increase in demand for non-emergency treatment. NowDoc will be open from 6 o'clock tomorrow evening until 8 o'clock on Tuesday morning and can be contacted on 0818 400 911. Letterkenny University Hospital's emergency department continues to be very busy, along with other hospitals in the region. And Cielta's CEO Tony Canavan says anyone with an illness or injury which requires emergency care should always come to the ED, where they will be prioritised. You can read the full statement on our website, highlandradio.com.
That was Donna Marie Doherty. The Donegal Local Sports Partnership is to benefit from a €2.5 million investment under Phase 2 of the Sports Energy Support Scheme. €30,000 has been allocated to the Donegal Local Sports Partnership. The funding provides support to over 1,900 clubs and other groups. Derry City and Strabane District Council is hoping to have meetings this month with statutory agencies to discuss flooding in Castle Derg. On the same night that Rafoe and Castle Finn in Donegal were hit by severe floods, Castle Derg, which is nearby across the border, was also affected. And at a meeting of Derry and Strabane Council last week, Derg Area Councillor Rory McHugh asked that a meeting be arranged as quickly as possible. This week, he's been told it's hoped discussions can take place before the end of August, but no date has been set. Councillor McHugh says some of those areas are already susceptible to flooding and it's feared the situation could worsen.
I have been in touch with council officers following my proposal at last week's full council meeting to take a meeting as soon as practically possible with the statutory agencies, namely DFI Road Service and DFI Rivers Agency, to see what can be done so that this doesn't reoccur. I have held site meetings previously with some of the statutory agencies in some of these areas that have flooded before. So while the weather was unprecedented, some of the areas have flooded in the past. And obviously that is the fear now, particularly with the onset of climate change, that this flooding will be happening more often.
There has been a lot of work done in Strabane. That took an awful lot of time and an awful lot of campaigning before it was actually brought to bear. You'd be hoping, I'm sure, that what's going to be done in Castledare can be done more quickly than perhaps has been the experience in the past.
Well, absolutely. And when dealing with statutory agencies, quite often we're told that there's an issue around resources and finances. So I'm also appealing that the statutory agencies should receive extra support and extra funding.
The best you can get at the moment is that council officials hope to be sitting down with the various agencies by the end of this month. Is it your fear that this could now drag into the autumn and it'll be some time before we actually see any movement here?
Well, that remains to be seen. But as I said, I have been liaising with council officers, pressing upon them and in turn seeking assurances from the statutory agencies that this meeting that I have asked for will take place sooner rather than later.
And that was Councillor Rory McHugh. Security's been stepped up in Washington ahead of a court appearance by Donald Trump. He faces charges in relation to his attempts to overturn the result of the 2020 presidential election. The former US president has accused officials of corruption and scandal. Law lecturer at the University of Galway, Larry Donnelly, says regardless of what happens, there will always be some level of support for Mr. Trump.
For a significant cadre of Americans, they will not even look or hear of some of the things that are being the very serious allegations that are being leveled at Donald Trump, because they believe that things like the deep state are inherently corrupt and all of that, and that Donald Trump is their man, and that he, for having the guts to stand up to the deep state and for having the guts to talk to people.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, with premium running footwear from top brands like Asics, New Balance, Brooks, Adidas and Under Armour. See michaelmurphysports.ie.
14 and a half minutes past five. Good evening, Jordan McDade.
Good evening. We start with football. Derry City have just kicked off away to Coops in their second leg of their Europa Conference League qualifier. The Candy Stripes have a 2-1 first leg lead. Now if we can just have a look at the score, and it's 14 minutes played and it's Derry City who are currently leading with a goal from Kian Kavanagh, the forward. Now moving on to the other games that are played in Europe for Irish sides. There's a 7:45 start at Oriel Park, where Dundalk will resume a 3-1 down against KA of Iceland, while Shamrock Rovers are 4-0 down to Verum Varkaus ahead of their second round qualifier at Tallaght Stadium. Some transfer news now, as Drogheda United have sold Emmanuel Adebayega to Norwich for an undisclosed fee. The 19-year-old has played 22 times for the Drogs this season. Meanwhile, Sligo Rovers have also pocketed an undisclosed fee for Shrewsbury Town forward Max Mata. Staying with football, earlier today, Germany crashed out of the Women's World Cup at the group stage for the first time. The two-time champions were held to a 1-1 draw by South Korea and needed to better Morocco's result in Group H. The African nation, who lost 6-0 to the Germans in their group meeting, beat Colombia 1-0. The South Americans will face Jamaica in the last 16, while Morocco will take on France. To rugby, three players will make their Ireland debuts off the bench in Saturday's World Cup warm-up match against Italy. Ulster hooker Tom Stewart, Leinster back Kieran Frawley and Munster winger Calvin Nash are among the replacements. Ian Henderson will captain the side from the second row alongside Joe McCarthy, who makes his first start. There's also a chance for Jack Crowley to start his claim out at half. In golf, Shane Lowry is level par with five holes remaining of his opening round at the Wollongong Championship. England's Matt Wallace leads on five under par. Turning to para swimming, Roisin Ní Riain will be in lane three this evening for the final of the 100-metre backstroke S313 at the Para Swimming World Championships. The final is in the pool at 20 past six. On the racing front, Dylan Brown McMonagall has won for a second time at the Galway races. McMonagall was first past the post on board 12-1 Miramis for trainer Joseph Patrick O'Brien. On Monday, he won 7-1 Shot Mythology, trained again by Joseph Patrick O'Brien. Finally, on the score this week, in our League of Ireland chat, Ollie Horgan joins Dermot Doherty to look ahead to Galway's visit to Horgan's old stomping ground at Finharps. We'll hear from the Donegal Ladies Minor Camp, who are preparing for an All-Ireland final on Saturday against Waterford. And Brendan Kilcooney will take a look at the upcoming Division 1 and 2 league finals this weekend. That's on the score this evening after the 7 p.m. news.
Thank you very much indeed, Jordan. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for farming news and views. And we say good evening to Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll have details about agricultural shows around the county next week, but first, the weather. It was the wettest July on record in Ireland, and there are both short and longer term implications for the agricultural sector. According to Met Éireann, rainfall is a key indicator of changes in climate. And the Irish Meteorological Service has just under 500 rain gauge locations in the country, with the input being supplied by people on a voluntary basis. Well, one of them is in Killigordon on the farm of Patrick Kelly, who has been a regular contributor to this show. Well, earlier today I spoke to him to find out just how wet July was in terms of figures and the challenges that lie ahead.
Yes, as you know, the figures here in Killigordon, where I live, I keep them. And it's a record-breaking July. It was the wettest July I've recorded in 25 years of official records, and as it was for much of the country. So we had a total of 195.5 millimetres of rain in July. Just to put it in context, we would normally get about 85 millimetres of rain in July, so which is actually quite a wet month, but it's the nature of where we live. So that's over two times normal rainfall. And of course, we had on that famous Saturday, the 22nd of July, the wettest day I've ever recorded here in 25 years, when both Castleflin and Rafoe got flooded. We had this similar volume of rain. A total of 73 millimetres fell in the space of 7 or 8 hours. So it was exceptionally wet that day. Yeah.
And did it actually rain on every single day in July?
No, there was 28 days of rain, so there were actually 3 days it didn't rain, so it feels like that. But I was just checking through the records here. The weather broke around the 12th or 13th of June, and there's only been 5 days that it hasn't rained since that, so we're well into our second month of bad weather.
Climate change is in the news almost every day, and there's going to be consequences for the agricultural sector, and we will need to plan for the future and taking in the various councils and stakeholders. And certainly, I mean, you've seen, like on your own farm, that there is a certain amount of work that one can do to cope with a wetter climate that we are now facing.
Yeah, in all reality, we are facing more rain. We've always been wet, and we've had wet summers before, but it's the intensity of the rainfall that probably sets us apart. You know, I've never seen anything like that Saturday in July, and it was quite localised here in the East Donegal area, but, you know, we've had thunderstorms in the past, but maybe more smaller localised areas. Look, I was just checking, and the most rain I recorded was 2007, a thunderstorm of 63 millimetres, but that was quite widespread across the East Donegal area, and it didn't cause flooding in the Big River, the River Finn itself, because the Bluestack Mountains didn't get that rainfall, so it wasn't maybe as sort of widespread as other people have seen in the past, but the localised flooding was the challenge, and that's what we're going to have to deal with, is that localised flooding. So what I've done, it's trying to divert water away from sort of essential buildings. So in my farmyard here, we would have had problems in the past of the slurry tanks and the silage pits being flooded with the localised flooding, and I've managed to direct that through different sides of the farmyard so that we didn't have any of those tanks flooded this time, even though it was the most rain ever recorded. So it's a matter of diverting water and trying to put measures in place to divert it to places that it doesn't cause as much problems.
Prevention is better than cure, so long term we're going to have to look at areas that are prone to flooding, that there's going to be maybe defences put in, or watercourses may have to be diverted one way or another. But it could be expenditure that is very well worth it, because you look at all the hassle and havoc that it could spare.
Yeah, I always think it quite ironic that Rafoe, which is probably one of the highest towns in Ireland, has so much flooding. So it's a matter of trying to look at locations. So just because you're on top of a hill doesn't mean to say that you won't get flooded, because the streams become rivers in those intense rainfalls. So it's a matter of looking at every premises and every property and seeing how you can manage the water situation. It's going to be a challenge, but we don't have much choice if we want to stop our houses being flooded. And we also have to think about, obviously, where we build houses and where we build buildings in general.
So if things don't improve, Patrick, in the short term, there's going to be problems down the road this autumn for the farming community?
Yeah, already, sure. The lack of dry days is really difficult for the tillage farmer trying to get his crops at the moment, and also very difficult for people trying to save the second cut silage. And of course, that you're absolutely right, Chris. The problem of having the late second silage, and there's a lot of it to cut here, is that we're into August now, so it reduces the amount of aftergrass we have. So even if it does dry up, it's going to leave fodder and feed more scarce this autumn. People have asked me locally about when does the weather improve, and I say, you know, September, when the children go back to school, and everybody laughs because that's in people's minds. And it's quite often when you get a bad summer that it is September that improves.
And if we look at the first 6-7 months of the year, you know, July was exceptional. How have the other months been so far this year?
It's been a very, very unusual year. As you know, it's a record-breaking year, so it was the warmest June ever recorded in Ireland. For me, May was exceptionally dry and a very good month. So it's the most important month of the year from a farmer perspective, because we favour first cut silage and our cows are peak milk production, certainly from a dairy farmer perspective. So it was actually a dry month, and it suited to get the soil into good shape. So exceptionally dry February, not far off being a record-breaking dry February, but then very wet in March. So it's been a bit like that this year, going from very dry spells to very wet spells. It's tough to take the middle of summer being so poor, because everybody's talking about the weather and everybody's a bit depressed about it, because it's, July. It's a time of year when you want to have a bit of sunshine and get a wee bit of a break. And we had two good Julys over the last 2 years, so we're sort of looking back thinking that's the way it is, but unfortunately it's not this year.
People generally think June, July, August are summer months, the drier months, but if you base it on your figures during the year, perhaps people are surprised that some of the drier months are not those three.
No, they're not. And the figures from Met Aaron very recently showed the trend here, where we're getting wetter and we're getting more wet days. And the drier spell is the springtime. So your April, May into June is usually drier. August is always a wet month in Donegal. That's probably not going to be much different this year. That May into June spell that happens quite frequently is probably the best time of the year for weather.
And finally, Patrick, based on recent years, August and September, how are they generally speaking?
August is generally a poor month here, Chris. I remembered about 3 or 4 good Augusts over my lifetime. Now, last August wasn't bad, actually. Fingers crossed, good, some sort of turn. But if I was looking at it, I was at more than likely September. And September is generally a better month than August. And you usually do get a spell at some stage. So I wouldn't hold out yet for August. We'll see. But I'd be pretty confident, you know, that you'd get that turn at some stage. And it's usually into September, the beginning of September. It's saved so many harvests in Donegal over the years. And but we just could do with it earlier this year, given where we are at the moment.
And that was Patrick Kelly, Kelly Gordon farmer, who does that work on behalf of the Irish Meteorological Service. In terms of agricultural shows, this is peak season, and there's certainly a lot to look forward to here in Donegal. This Sunday sees the Glencolumbkill Agricultural Show. One of the highlights will be the Wild Atlantic Calf Championship, with a prize fund of €600. As always, there's a great variety of competitions and lots of arts and crafts as well in what's a real family day out. And there's also a prize for the best dressed man and lady. Meanwhile, the annual Mena Cross Agricultural Show outside Dunloe takes place this coming bank holiday Monday, August the 7th. And as is the tradition, the winning Mary from Dunloe will be in attendance. Among the highlights this year will be a tug-of-war competition and some superb home baking as entrance vie for the Brian Danny Mini Cup. Meanwhile, the 2-day Clonmany Agricultural Show is on next Tuesday and Wednesday. In addition to the agriculture, livestock and sheepdog trials, the show has evolved into a great family occasion, and it now showcases local produce, arts and crafts, fashion, kids' entertainment, horse jumping, dancing competitions and much more. And this year sees the event hosting the 2023 All Nations Shearing and Wool Handling Championships. That promises to be quite a spectacle. And there's also a monster draw with €105,000 worth of prizes, with the top prize being a Valtra high-tech tractor. In other news this week, the new National Beef Welfare Scheme has opened. The scheme will pay farmers €35 a cow, up to a maximum of 40 cows to meal feed calves, and €15 a head to test up to 20 animals for the presence of infectious bovine rhinotracheitis. in their herds. However, there have been claims by the IFA that farmers could be out of pocket to the tune of up to €12 a head in the IBR testing costs. And finally, this week's farming fact. Latest figures show that Donegal has 23,767 dairy cows at the end of June this year. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed, Chris. Time for the weather forecast. Breezy this evening with bright or sunny spells and scattered showers in moderate to fresh and gusty northwest winds, becoming largely dry overnight with just a few isolated showers. Long clear spells developing with northwesterly breezes decreasing light to moderate in strength, lows of 8 to 11 degrees Celsius. A dry start tomorrow with sunny spells and just a few showers, cloud thickening from the west in the afternoon with rain developing extending to all areas by late tomorrow evening. Highs on Friday ranging 15 to 18 degrees Celsius, light to moderate northwest breezes backing southerly and freshening with the arrival of the rain. And that's Highland Radio News. We're back with news headlines again at 6. Until then, from the news team, have a very good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, August the 3rd. The death has taken place of Carol Henderson, 26 Cluny Terrace Derry, and formerly of 55 St Coleman's Drive, Strabane. Reposing at Quigley's Funeral Home, Strabane, on Monday evening from 5:30, with removal at 6:30 to St Mary's Church, Melmount, for Requiem Mass on Tuesday morning at 10:00. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Helen McNulty, name McNulty, Donegal Road, Ballybuffet, reposing at the family home from 6:00 this evening. Funeral from the family home on Saturday afternoon at 3:00 for Requiem Mass at 3:30 in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The death has taken place of John Jim Pat McFadden, late of Ross Cad, Creeslaw. Wake is taking place at the home of his daughter Angela, opposite the family home on the Carrigart Road, Ross Cad, Creeslaw. Funeral Mass in St Michael's Church, Creeslaw, on Saturday morning at 11:00, with interment afterwards in Doe Graveyard. Mass can be viewed live on mcnmedia.tv. Family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to the Lake House Comfort Fund, care of any family member or James Harkin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Father Henry Grant, SJ, Milltown Park and formerly of Buncrana, County Donegal, Belfast, Portadown and Asuncion, Paraguay, reposing at Cherryfield Lodge, County Dublin. Funeral Mass in Gonzaga College Chapel, County Dublin, tomorrow morning at 11:30, followed by burial in Glasnevin Cemetery. The death has occurred of May Deary, Apartment 2, The Beaches, Ballybuffet and formerly Donegal Road, Ballybuffet. Remains reposing at her late residence. Funeral from her late residence on Saturday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorler at 11:00. Cremation afterwards in Lakeland's Crematorium Cavan. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live at churchservices.tv. Donations in lieu of flowers, if so desired, to Barnes View Ward, St Joseph's Community Hospital, care of any family member. Family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Tony Boggs, 20 Ingleside Drive, Strabane, and formerly of 14 Dergold Road, Strabane, reposing at his home. Funeral leaving his home on Saturday morning at 10:20 for Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Derry Road at 11:00, followed by interment in Strabane Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed on churchservices.tv. And the death occurred on July the 2nd of Tessie Dolan, name McHugh, 23 Trainamongan Road, Ahiarn. Tessie's Month's Mind Mass will take place tomorrow evening in St Patrick's Church, Ahiarn at 7:30. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.